Welcome to Drive Through HR, the number one internet daily radio show for the HR professionals. So today this is your host, Isha, while my partners in crime, Brian Wempen and William Tintkup, are not available today. William has got a jury duty to take care of, and Brian is traveling from Oklahoma to Dallas. Well, tomorrow we are having a speaking engagement at TalentNet Live in Dallas at Pizza Hut headquarters in Plano, Texas. So this is going to be so interesting. So if you guys are there coming to TalentNet Live, come and meet us there. We'll be glad to meet you all there. So without further ado, let's talk to our guest, Riley Moles. Hey, Riley, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Well, really, we are so honored to have you here with us today. So to our audience, do us a favor, introduce yourself to our audience so they can know a little bit about yours.
Of course. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it. My name is G. Riley Mills, and I'm the co-founder of a company called Pinnacle Performance Company. We're based out of Chicago is our headquarters. We started about 8 years ago, and we have offices across the U.S., offices in Dubai, offices in London, Bangalore, India, and all over. We train communication skills, presentation skills, facilitation skills to pretty much who's who of all the big companies around the world. So we train Apple executives, we train Samsung, we train Oracle, we train Walgreens, we train everybody in between. So I'm really excited to be here today because what we do at Pinnacle is we focus on one thing and we do it really well, and that is helping people get their message across so that they can achieve whatever objective it is they wanted to achieve with their message. And generally, people know what they want to achieve as a communicator. They know what that goal is, but they're missing the key ingredient that's going to help them reach the goal. And that key ingredient is what we call intention. Everything about your communication has to go back to intention. So our whole company is built on the idea that you have to communicate a clear intention in order to get what you want from an audience.
Well, I like that idea, communicate with clear intention. So I'd like to know more about what are you hearing from your clients? What actually keeping them up at night?
Yeah, it's a great question. And we work across pretty much every industry around the world, and really, the thing that's keeping everybody up at night is, why is my message not getting across the way I want it to get across? Why am I not accomplishing my goals with my meeting, with my presentation, with my feedback session, with my conference call? And so it happens a lot. Why am I not engaging my audience? Why are they not listening? Why are they not persuaded? And again, it all goes back to intention, which I'll talk about in just a little bit. But, you know, a couple of statistics that I think are interesting. There are 11 million meetings going on in the United States just today alone. So just today, 11 million meetings are happening across the United States, a lot of different meetings. 61.8 meetings per month, sorry. That's the amount of meetings someone in the corporate environment has to attend as part of their job. So 62 meetings a month, what is that, 2 to 3 meetings every single day. So there's a lot of meetings going on. We spend about 37% of our work week in meetings. So 37% of our time is spent in meetings, listening to presentations, listening to our boss talk about whatever subject he or she is talking about. That percentage goes up, actually, for executives. The higher you go up the ladder, managers or directors, that average is around 50%. So about 50% of your time is spent in meetings. So what those studies tell us is, boy, we are all spending a lot of time in meetings during our work week. There's a couple other studies that go to this, but shed a little bit of light on how those meetings are going. And those numbers are, of all those meetings we go to, 91% of the people admitted to either daydreaming or falling asleep in those meetings that they attend. So 91% of the people at some point say, yeah, I'm not really engaged in these meetings. I'm not paying attention, or I literally fell asleep during that speech. So what those studies tell us, what those numbers tell us, is there's a lot of meetings going on, but there's a lot of people who are not engaging their audience. They're not capturing an audience's attention, and they're not getting their message across to an audience, which means all that time, or the time that people are not paying attention, that's wasted time. That's unproductive time at the workplace. So if you're bringing your team of 23 in for an hour meeting and you're doing a terrible job as the speaker, they don't know why they should care. They're not sure what this meeting is about. They're not sure what you want them to do with that information at the end. Think of all of the money that's wasted and all the productivity that's wasted with those people in that unproductive meeting. So one of the things we do at Pinnacle is we help people be more engaging and be more influential. It's our belief that the burden of engagement with communication always lies with the speaker. So it's not the audience's responsibility to be persuaded or to be engaged. It's your responsibility as the person running the meeting, as the person facilitating the dialogue, as the person presenting the material, it's your job to engage them. That's your responsibility. And to do that, you use intention. And you also use the old what's in it for them. You've got to be very clear with that audience, here's why this is important to you, here's why you should care about what I have to say, and here's what I want you to do with this information at the end. Whether it's I want you to change the way you work, I want you to make more sales, I want you to engage with your counterparts more productively. Whatever that objective is, you've got to be crystal clear what's in it for that audience so that they listen and so that they do what you want them to do. Does that make sense?
Excellent. Yes, excellent. And this is a great study. It's almost 50% of the time is spent in meetings. Oh, my God. This is so much of unproductive time that is going on. And that's going to affect their organization's growth and productivity as well. So from your end, what are your thoughts in terms of, let's just say, having a great way of engaging the audience?
Sure.
In a way that makes sense for them.
Yeah, so there's a three-step process that what we call the Pinnacle Method, what our company mm-hmm. is based on, there's a three-step process to effective communication. And all of our training, all of our workshops, all of our coaching is all based on that. We just wrote a book. I'm the co-author with my co-founder, David Lewis, of a new book called The Pin Drop Principle, where in 277 pages we try to lay out this whole concept of intention and objective and how you can use all these tools to be more engaging and effective in your work. And before I get to that, the interesting thing that sets our company apart from some of the other companies out there that might teach communication skills or presentation skills is all of our techniques, all of our methodology is based on the time-honored performance techniques that professional actors have utilized for centuries. So that's what makes us a little bit different. We come at it from that angle. I spent almost 20 years working as a professional actor before I transitioned into the Pinnacle role before we started the company. So I worked on everything from, I was on ER back in the 90s on that TV show. I was on Early Edition with Kyle Chandler, which was a show back in the late 90s, done commercials, I've done theater forever. And what we bring with Pinnacle is we bring all these time-tested techniques that actors know, how to use your voice, how to use your gestures, how to use your body language, how to use your intention. All those things we learned at acting school, you can transfer those over into the corporate environment to be more effective, more engaging, more confident, more credible with your boss, with your client, with your team. So that's the background of our company. That's where it came about. But the Pinnacle Method, which we've been experimenting with and perfecting for the last 8 years, it's based on these three steps to effective communication. So let me lay these out for your listeners. And as I go through these, for all of you listening, take a second and think for yourself the meetings you run, the presentations you deliver, the communication that you're involved with as part of your role. How well do you do with these three? Do you follow all three of these steps, or is there one area or another that you could probably sharpen up or refine? So the first step is you have to analyze your audience. So you have to know, who is this that I'm talking to? How do they feel about me? How do they feel about my message? Is it good news or bad news? Are they going to feel defensive? Are they going to feel excited? Are they going to feel scared by what I have to tell them? And what's in it for them? What do I have that that they could benefit from or that will engage them and make them care about what I have to say? So you have to analyze that audience and try to get to know them, try to figure out, get into their minds, figure out what they want listening to your communication. So that's the first thing. Number one, analyze your audience. Once you've done that, the second step in this three-step process is you have to understand very clearly the actions or reactions that you want to influence with that audience. What do you want from them? Because what you're saying is never just information. If it's just information that's good to know, send them an email. If you are presenting or communicating with them, try to understand the actions or reactions you want to elicit in them. So, for example, if you are bringing your team in because they are not showing up to work on time, 9 a.m. rolls around, and every day you're at work, and the 23 people on your team roll in at 9:20, and you're bringing them in to make sure this doesn't happen anymore, you've got to understand the actions or reactions you want to elicit to them. So, do you want to inspire them to come in? Do you want to reprimand them for not showing up on time? Do you want to motivate them and incentivize them to change the way they look at the start time? What is it? You have to understand what you want from them. And then the third phase, the third step in this process is you have to modify your delivery. So once you understand what you want them to do, you've got to modify your delivery, just like a great actor. The way you use your voice, your body language, your gestures, your facial expressions, your pace, your eye contact, your intention, all of what we call intention cues, which are all of those things, smile or no smile, speaking slowly or speaking very fast, you're going to modify your delivery in order to achieve those reactions that you're trying to achieve with that audience in that second step. So those are really the three phases of effective communication, the three steps that we feel everyone has to go through in order to be rock solid with their communication. Number one, analyze the audience. Number two, understand those actions and reactions that you want to influence. And number three, how you modify your delivery in order to make that happen.
Awesome. Awesome. These are all great tips out there for the speakers that who are going to engage their audience and if you wanted to influence them as well. Well, you know, we can see most of the organization, they generally hold a meeting unless, I mean, they don't, even if they don't have a reason to. So
right.
From your end, when should they really call for a meeting? Or where do they get wrong when it comes to, you know, holding a meeting? Is it really required? How do they judge that?
Yeah, so this is an excellent question is, you know, my wife works in the corporate environment, and so mm-hmm. she is very often pulled into meetings that she's not really required to be there. It's really not necessary for her to be there. She could have gotten a one-page email with three bullet points that got her up to speed on the three big decisions that were made. So what happens is because she was pulled into this meeting, that's an hour or 2 hours of productivity that could have been, she could have gotten so much work done if she would have just been allowed to work at her desk and not be pulled in. So that's the one thing I would say to people scheduling meetings is, do you really need a meeting? You know, is that meeting essential or is it something that can be handled in an email? There's no reason to have a meeting just to have a meeting. Also, you've got to be super clear with your point for the meeting and what you want to happen at the end. So action items is very important. A meeting can't just be about talking about a topic and brainstorming. At the end of it, summarize what you've accomplished, what you've come up with, and figure out next steps. For our next meeting, you're going to be responsible for this. Mark, I want you handling this. And Susan, I'll need you to run point on this. And make people responsible so it's not just a meeting about talking. And again, that goes back to another tool that we talk about in the Pinnacle Method, which is that combo of intention and objective. Those are the bedrocks of effective communication. They're what actors have used for centuries, and they're what all of us can use to have better meetings, better presentations, and more effective messaging. And here's the sentence that I would encourage everybody listening out there, I would encourage you to write this sentence down because this is the sentence that goes right to the heart of effective communication. And you can judge how well you hit this mark during your personal meetings, during your personal presentations or communication. The sentence goes like this. I want to blank my audience so that my audience will blank. So there's two blanks there. I want to blank my audience so that my audience will blank. So that's intention, objective, going each of those blanks. The first blank is intention. The second blank is objective. So at the end, we usually know what our objective is with a meeting. I want to make the sale. I want to motivate the team so that they make more contacts, they get more leads. I want to make sure my team shows up on time. We know what our objective is. Where we don't always hit the mark is with our strong intention, communicating with a strong intention so our audience has no confusion about why they're here, why they should care, and what we want them to do at the end of our communication. So, for example, if we go back with that sentence, we go back to that example I told earlier. Let's say you have a team of 23. They're not showing up to work on time. You call them in for a meeting because you're going to try to get them to show up on time. So very clearly, if we use that sentence, I want to blank my audience so that my audience will blank, intention and objective, our objective is clear. Our objective and our goal with this particular communication is what? We want them to show up on time. Okay, so that's our objective, very clear. So you fill that in on that second blank. Now our intention, what we choose as an intention to help us communicate and get that, achieve that objective, we could go a bunch of different ways. And depending on what intention we choose for this communication, it will change our delivery. It will change how we approach this role, this communication, this message, and this delivery. So, for example, if my goal is for them to show up on time, my intention, which, by the way, is always a one-word verb, whenever you're filling in your intention or choosing an intention, you have to choose an action word, which is a one-word verb. So some examples could be, I want to inspire my team so that they show up on time. So if I chose that as an intention, my eye contact, my body language, my gestures, my voice, my pace are all going to be inspirational. So I might have a story. I might inspire them with a story about how I used to show up late to work and how one day my mentor took me aside and he told me this wonderful story about showing up late and how this happens. So I could go inspire, or I could go reprimand. If I choose reprimand as my intention, my delivery is not going to be inspirational. They're going to see different facial expressions, different eye contact, different voice, different body language. It's going to be to reprimand them. Okay? If I choose to motivate, that could be a different intention. And again, my body language, my gestures, my facial expression, smiling or not smiling, is going to communicate to motivate. So once you choose a strong intention, it's going to help inform your delivery. Without a strong intention for your communication, the best you can hope for is your message is going to be ambiguous. Your audience doesn't really know how to feel about this. I don't know. She seemed a little bit perturbed that we weren't showing up on time. I don't know. You know, she didn't seem that upset. She was kind of telling us that inspiring story. I'm not sure. So you want to be very strong. Choose a strong intention and then activate it with your body language, with your gestures, and with your nonverbal communication. Again, think of it this way. Again, we said it's your responsibility as the communicator to get your message across. It's not the audience's responsibility to be engaged. It's your responsibility to engage them. Think of it this way. The archer does not blame the target when she misses. Right? She doesn't blame the target when the arrow goes astray. It's her fault, and she knows it. So the same thing goes for all of us as a communicator. If your audience is bored during your meeting, it's your fault. That's the bedrock of what we teach in the Pinnacle Method. If during your workshop, your training, your conference call, your meeting, your presentation, your audience is not with you, you are not engaging them. So you've got to use the techniques that we lay out in our book and in our training to engage them. Why? Because conceivably, what you have to say is important. And there's an action you want at the end. You want them to do blank at the end. So you have to engage them. You have to make sure your message gets through. Make sense?
Absolutely. Well, this is so interesting, and I wanted to stress one point that you said regarding storytelling. Well, most
yes.
of the time when we sit in the conferences or when we sit in a meeting or any other presentation, it's really hard to, you know, go through when the speaker that we know are really, what would I say, an inspirational person, an admiring person, but then when they just rely on their bullet points instead of sharing
yes.
any other stories, that is totally make them personable, or let's just say, let's know a little bit about the personal story of them. That would be really interesting to see.
Correct. Yeah, storytelling is an incredibly powerful tool that you can utilize to engage an audience. There's a study that's done, we talked about in the Pin Drop Principle. Jerome Bruner, psychologist, studied storytelling in the corporate environment. And one of the things he found was a piece of information, if you tell it to an audience is 20 times more likely to remember that piece of information if you include it as part of a story that engages them emotionally versus just a number on a slide. So if you can weave your message into an impactful story, a memorable story, an emotional story, audiences love it. If you ever go to these conferences, you know, there are conferences all the time, speakers, you can go listen to great speakers. The really good ones, you'll see some stories in there. They'll bring in some stories from their life, some stories from their experiences as a trainer, their experiences in the corporate environment that help illuminate the point that they're trying to make. So I'm a huge fan of storytelling, and we have an entire chapter in the Pin Drop Principle, How to Tell a Good Story. Because if you think about it, whether it's a great leader, whether it's a candidate for president, whether it's a speaker on TED Talks, these folks all are good storytellers. So if you're not sure if you're a good storyteller or not, tell a story to someone, try it out, and get some feedback. Read their body language. Do they look like they're engaged while you're telling that story, or do they look kind of bored? Do they look like they can't wait for your story to be finished? And there's actually a secret formula for storytelling, and we lay it out in the Pin Drop Principle. It's got 6 points on it, and it goes back centuries. That it's a little map that if your story mm-hmm. hits these 6 points, it's going to be a good story.
Okay, what is it?
Yeah, going back centuries, all the way back to, you know, a lot of Shakespeare's plays, sitcoms, Gilligan's Island, cartoons, they all follow this little structure pretty close. So if you can get comfortable knowing I need these 6 pieces in my story, it's going to be great.
Wow, that's really cool. So as I can see, one of the Facebook messages that I got right now, every speaker has his own style. So
yeah.
I'd like to know what are your secret formula of what is your secret formula in terms of attracting the audience? I know you talked a little bit about analysis or actions and modifying your delivery. It's all about the goal and
sure.
the content of the speech. But when it comes to having that personal approach to that audience, every speaker has its own style of delivery. So what
Correct.
Is your thought?
Yeah, this is an excellent question. Very good question, Nisha. So one of the things in the Pinnacle Method that we are huge fans of is what we call personal stamp, meaning bringing your authenticity to your communication, whether it's a presentation, telling a story, giving a sales pitch, whatever it is. There's no one perfect way. And what you bring to it, that's your signature style. The same as an actor, right? Me as an actor, if you hire me to play Hamlet in your production of Hamlet, that will be different than if you hired David Lewis, my Pinnacle co-founder, and he plays Hamlet, because we bring to it a different voice, different body language, different gestures. We're going to bring our different aspects of our personality to our role. Same thing in the corporate environment, right? Steve Jobs is not the same type of communicator as Barack Obama. Both
mm-hmm.
very good speakers, but they have their own what we call signature style. So bring yourself to the party is one of the things we talk about. Bring yourself to the material. Also, storytelling, that can be a way to bring your authenticity to it. But if you think about it, what we strive for is there's 5 aspects of a good speaker. There's 5 different elements that we want to be perceived as from our audience. And those are, number 1, clear. We call them the 5 C's. So as I go through these really quickly, just think to all of yourselves out there, when you're communicating, how well do you do on these five? How well do you think your audience would rate you on these five aspects of your communication? So the first is clear. We want to be clear with our message. Number one, so the audience knows what we're saying and why it's important. But number two, so they know what's in it for them. At the beginning of your communication, if you are clear to the audience about why they should care, they're going to make more money, they're going to do their job better, they're going to get to go home earlier, whatever it is, find out what's in it for them and be clear about why they should care. That'll attract their attention. That'll hook them. The second C in the five C's, be concise. Be concise with your communication, whether it's giving an answer to a question, whether it's a sales pitch, you've been given some time to bring your product in and show your product, whether it's a new program you're getting ready to roll out at your company, be concise with your message. People appreciate a speaker who is concise. Why? Because I have 61.8 meetings I have to attend this month. So get your meeting to the point so I can go on to my next meeting. So we love speakers who don't go on and on and on. So that's the second C. The third C is you want to come across as confident as a speaker, as a communicator. Audiences are attracted and drawn and compelled by people who are confident in their own skin, who are not afraid, nervous, fidgety. Credible. Fourth C is credible. You want to come across as credible to your audience. It goes to one word, and that word starts with the letter T. It goes to trust. If you are not credible to your audience, they are not going to trust what you have to say. So credibility is important. Whether you set your credibility up at the beginning by going over your credentials, whether it means being prepared, being knowledgeable on the subject, whether it means being familiar with your visual aids, whatever that means for you, being credible to that audience, very important. And the last C, think about this one. This is sometimes the one that is missing from even the most seasoned, knowledgeable, confident presenters. And that C is compelling. As a communicator, you have to be compelling to an audience. Because I could be the most brilliant scientist in the world who just made this earth-shattering discovery. But if while I'm communicating that in a speech at Harvard, my audience is asleep because I have monotone in my voice and no facial expressions and no passion for what I'm saying, my message is not getting through. So I have to be engaging and compelling. So those are the five C's: being clear, being concise, being confident, being credible, and being compelling. And with that, bring yourself to the party. Bring your personality. If that's a sense of humor, bring that. If that's a knack for using examples from your past to illustrate points through storytelling, bring that to the party. Those are your strengths. So bring your individuality and bring that authenticity.
Wow, excellent. Five C's, guys. Clear, concise, confidence, credible, and compelling. Well, we have about 1 minute left at this moment. One very quick question. What would be the standard length of a meeting? That's come from our Facebook message.
Good. What's the perfect length for a meeting?
Mm-hmm.
So here's my thought on that, is the shorter the better. However, meetings should never go longer than 90 minutes to 2 hours without a break.
Excellent. So Riley Knowles, thank you so much for joining with us today. Where can people connect with you, come and find you?
Go to www.pinper.com, and you can read all about Pinnacle Performance Company. You can find the Pin Drop Principle on Amazon.com or at a bookstore near you. You can find Pinnacle on Facebook, Twitter, and everything else. So just go to pinper.com. You can get everything.
Well, thank you so much for joining with us today. You all have a wonderful day. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.